Hi, I'm Janelle Moretti.
And I'm Matt Moretti, the third.
We're married.
Obviously.
And that's nice, but we love all things Disney and we want to share our magical experiences with you.
Each week, we'll take you backstage to our lives as Disney parents / adult children, to our passion for the Disney parks and beyond.
And share some tips and tricks that might help you experience the magic that makes us feel like kids again every time we stroll down Main Street, USA.
This is the Mo Magic Hour Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Mo Magic Hour podcast. We are cooking with gas now. Been receiving incredible feedback from our loyal fans, our day ones, if you will. So we thank you for that as we get rolling here on this journey. We've enjoyed it so far and looking forward to many, many more. But right now, beep, 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 I'm sending it over to the newsroom, Janelle, my wonderful darling wife, for breaking news from Walt Disney World.
Dun, dun. So as everybody's probably heard by now, since it's been picked up by like CNN and USA Today and everything, Splash Mountain is getting a plussing, as Disney is now calling it officially, basically
important a distinction. Important distinction.
Yes. So a plussing is basically they're keeping almost like the bones of the ride or the attraction. And they are just kind of tweaking it, the theming. They're not like tearing it down and replacing it.
A recent example would be the Frozen Ever After ride.
Yes.
Formerly the Maelstrom.
Yes.
Great ride.
It's the same track.
Needed an update. It's essentially the same ride. For anyone who rode the Maelstrom. Janelle didn't get on the Maelstrom. You didn't get on the Maelstrom, did you?
Mom and Dad seem to think we did when we were younger, but it's nothing that I remembered.
It was, I remember being like really interested in going on it the first time we went, so we made sure to go, and lucky thing I did, because by the time I'd gone back with Janelle, it was becoming Frozen Ever After.
Well, I'm a hardcore Frozen person, so
I will say, having been on both, Frozen's better, but the Maelstrom was pretty cool.
Hot take.
So I don't know, I just probably lost a lot of fans there from the loyalists.
Don't tune out, I'm still here.
But anyway, back to Splash Mountain.
Back to Splash Mountain. So yes, we are getting a Princess and the Frog ride, and Disney did announce that, you know, it's been a year in the making and the artist rendering looks gorgeous. I am actually a big Princess and the Frog fan. It's one of my favorite movies. So, but also, fun fact, Splash Mountain is my favorite ride in all of Walt Disney World. So I'm back and forth on it. I have mixed feelings, but overall my feeling is excited because I do love Princess and the Frog. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we've all heard, and those of us who are hardcore Disney fans, we know the checkered past with Splash Mountain and the movie it's based on. And I think all of that aside, and certainly considered, it's probably time for an upgrade with that ride anyway. You're reaching now a generation of kids that are...
They've never seen the movie. They have no access to the movie.
And they won't. And they shouldn't.
And it's just fun little critters. But when a child walks into Disney World, they're looking for the movies they've seen, the favorite characters they've seen. So they don't really know.
That was part of the problem.
What's going on? It's kind of like an outlying ride.
That was part of the problem with the Maelstrom. That was part of the problem with the Great Movie Ride. Like, at a certain point, they're just dated.
Yeah.
And they're not relevant anymore.
Yeah.
And aren't going to attract new people or a new generation. Mm-hmm. And what's Walt's famous quote? I'm going to butcher it, about the park is never finished.
Yeah.
And this is an example of that. And it's time for it to evolve and get with the times. Princess and the Frog, great movie. Watched it today.
Yeah. I was pretty excited. I was like, are you doing research?
I was doing research for the pod.
So I'm overall excited. You know, I did see Song of the South when I was younger, and, you know, my parents had a conversation with me about Song of the South and why it really wasn't talked about, but I knew getting on that ride where those characters were from because I saw the movie. So I understand both sides of now, you know, we are in the 21st century. We want to progress and stuff. But also the kids now don't really know those characters. Mm-hmm. So as sad as I am, that kind of an end of an era, I'm kind of more excited that Princess and the Frog is finally getting its place, because I really love that movie and the music in it, and I just think it's wonderfully done. Yep. And if there's not a beignet stand outside of Splash Mountain, I will riot.
Oh boy. Look, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it eventually, but there's still no Pizza Planet, so.
There was.
Don't get your hopes up.
There was a Pizza Planet. But yes, there is no Pizza Planet. But also, I did want to say, with the stuff with Splash Mountain, a lot of people, a lot of the pushback I've been seeing is that doesn't make any sense. Princess and the Frog doesn't fit into Frontierland. There's no mountains. I saw somebody say there's no mountains in Princess and the Frog. First of all, if we're going to get real deep into this, it's called Chicopin Hill. It's a hill. It's not a mountain. It's just called Splash Mountain because that's the ride it is. It's not named after a mountain. It's Chicopin Hill in the Song of the South movie with Briar Rabbit, Briar Fox, Briar Bear. That's all it is.
Our next line of news. A little more updates about the resort openings, right, Janelle?
Yeah, a little bit of updates, but we're going to change it from an update to kind of a highlight segment, if you will.
We're going to tell you some good things. So, Janelle, the first resorts that are opening July 10th. What are they?
Pop Century, a Valley Resort, and the Contemporary Resort, a Deluxe
the
Resort.
Contempo,
which we were supposed to be seeing in
Darn
Sundance.
It.
I know. Yay. So, we kind of just wanted to highlight, a lot of people still have reservations for some of the resorts that we're going to talk about, and they might have that reservation for before it's open, and they have to switch resorts, and they're like, where do we switch to? This is the resort I wanted. So we just kind of wanted to highlight the resorts that are going to be open. So, Pop Century, Valley Resort. My favorite Valley Resort, in fact. It is on the Skyliner route.
This is
awesome.
Big fans of the Skyliner.
Big fans of the Skyliner. So it will take you to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. You do have to stop at the main hub that's at Caribbean Beach. But yes, you can get right on the Skyliner route. It's right on the bridge over Hourglass Lake, in between Art of Animation and Pop Century. Also, the children's splash pad at the main pool is great. I just love the theming. And then, of course, Janelle's favorite turkey sandwich of all time, Pop Century. I'll book and book and book again just to get that sandwich.
Or, you know, in the case of the trip you took with your sister, you'll just take a bus ride to that resort just to get that turkey sandwich.
Yes. Yes. Or I'll drive myself and tell the security guard I'm just coming for lunch. And he'll be like, we actually get that a lot. Anyway, so next one. So Contemporary is also opening July 10th.
Wait, I have a fun fact about Pop Century.
You know, you told me you wanted this to be fast.
I know, but I have a fun fact.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Fun fact, Pop Century.
Pop Century.
So,
go.
Remind me, it's themed after the 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 2000s, 90s?
Yes.
So that's the theming throughout the resort. Fun.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's right. But
now I don't even know.
It's five decades figured out. The last one's the 90s. Back it up.
If you hear whining, Princess Rosie Potts is in the building. She wanted to be on the podcast.
So the theming there is all based around those centuries, hence Pop Century. Well, eagle-eyed viewers might think, well, century, that's only half a century. Well, Pop Century Resort was originally imagined to be a dual resort, and the bridge across
kind of like sister resorts, like Port Orleans, kind of was.
So Pop Century was originally, you were going to cross, they built the one that's there now, and you were going to cross a bridge, and they were in construction of building a portion of Pop Century that was earlier decades. And then what was
it was supposed to be called the Legendary Years.
So it was like the 10s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. And something happened. The fun fact gets kind of ruined because I don't remember why construction got delayed or stopped. But that resort is now, instead of picking that back up and finishing out all of Pop Century and finishing out the century, if you will, they just reimagined that portion of it, and it's now Art of Animation, right?
Yes. So. And it's still called Hourglass Lake. That's in between, but because of the September 11th attacks, that's when construction kind of ceased. So the legendary years kind of...
It got delayed long enough to where they came up with a better idea.
Yeah.
And away they went. It was going to be, I mean, in hindsight, right, it's going to be hard to convince people of our generation, like, go stay in the 10s, 20s, 30s, and 40s and experience that kind of stuff. Like, it's hard for me. It would have been hard for me to relate to that. Whereas, like, I can go with my parents to the Pop Century, your parents, and they're seeing stuff on the walls from their childhood.
Yeah.
I remember standing there while you and your mom were checking in with your dad, and we're going through the different shadow boxes on the wall. Oh, I had that game. I had that toy. That's great. That's
but
cool.
I also think part of the legendary years, too, is maybe... because we haven't lived in those times, kind of give you a glimpse of that. Because if you really look at Pop Century on the walls in, like, the lobby, they really have, like, novelty memorabilia from those times. So it's really cool to look at. We've just seen it. But then also, like, because Disney World, you can go with your grandparents and stuff. Like, our grandparents, they would have known stuff from those times.
It's true.
But, yeah. So, but now it's our lovely Art of Animation resort, which we all
love that.
No one love. So
sorry, I took us on a tangent there, yes.
That's okay. So also July 10th, the Contemporary Resort, Deluxe. Of course, we all know the Contemporary, the OG Resort, right next to Magic Kingdom. That beautiful A-frame there. So it's on the monorail loop. Of course, it's a short walk to Magic Kingdom. And it does have a boat in the back that you can take over to the Wilderness Lodge in Fort Wilderness, which we have done. So just a little bit of unknown, maybe you don't know, some highlighted facts. They do have what's called the Garden Wing. So yes, they have that big tower that the monorail runs through. It's super cool, has the cool Mary Blair mural inside. But there's also the Garden Wing, which is, if you're in the parking lot and you're looking at the Contemporary, it's to the right. So Bay Lake is to the left, that tower. And then the Garden Wing is to the right. These are cheaper. They're still at the Contemporary. They're just not in that main A-frame. You can still walk. You do have to, in order to catch monorail, of course, you have to walk over the A-frame building and go in and be on your merry way. But it is a cheaper way to stay at the Contemporary if you want to kind of stay close to Magic Kingdom. Fun fact. And then also, that's where the California Grill is, on top of the Contemporary, where you can watch the fireworks. And, you know, if you have a reservation for there at like 4:30 for dinner, you know, because you couldn't get it during the fireworks time, bring back your receipt to California Grill, and as long as you have your receipt and it says you dined there that day, you can go up on the deck and watch the fireworks from there. Also fun for the kids, there's the Pirate and Pals Fireworks Voyage, where you get to go on a little, it's a paid thing, but you go on a little cruise with Captain Hook and Mr. Smee and watch the fireworks from the water. So that's cool.
And it's the only resort currently that you can stay at and walk to the Magic Kingdom?
Currently.
Being the operative phrase. They're working on that for
the Grand Floridian.
Yes. Which we've seen that walkway. God bless you.
It's a long walkway. But you can walk
it. You could, yeah. So
if you don't want to, I mean, I kind of understand that, because seeing what we saw, I mean, the boats are really little.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, the riverboat that's going over to Wilderness. The boats are littler, and then monorail.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, it's hordes. So to be able to walk, if you have a kid sleeping in a stroller, you don't want to disturb them, and you're like, we're just going to take the, you know, maybe 10-minute walk and go over to the Grand Floridian.
Yeah. I mean, general rule of thumb, at least in my opinion, if you're in a hurry, the boat's not your option. The boat's for the people who have time to enjoy it and to wait.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great ride if you have the time to wait. Love the boats.
Yeah.
But don't do it if you're running late for a reservation. Boats aren't your option. Janelle, July 29th.
July 29th. Okay, Caribbean Beach Resort. Moderate resort. It's one of the bigger resort footprints in Walt Disney World, meaning it does have multiple bus stops inside the actual resort. So you do need to, you might have to sit on a couple of bus stops before you head to your destination. But anyway, so this is one of those great resorts that can fit bigger families for, you know, cheaper than it would be at the deluxe. So they can fit, you know, you have the two queen beds, but then you also have a child-sized pull-down bed as an option. And then you also have what's called storybook rooms, and they have a wing that is Pirates of the Caribbean rooms. They're really cool, especially for your really big pirate fan if you have a kid that's, like, really into pirates or Pirates of the Caribbean in general. The beds are smaller, I will tell you that, and the rooms are more expensive than the regular rooms. And they are kind of far away from, you know, the amenities. But with that being said, it is the main Skyliner hub. So a lot of the different places, like Pop Century, going from Pop Century Art of Animation, or, you know, coming from one of the parks, you have to stop at Caribbean Beach, get off the Skyliner, and then get on to a new, what's it called? Skyliner, I don't even know what they're called.
Cab?
Yeah, we'll go with cab. Cab to then go to your destination. Whereas Caribbean Beach, because it's the hub, you're basically cutting that part out. You just get in line to, if you want to go to Epcot or Hollywood Studios, and it takes you right there. It's great. And then also, fun fact about this, is each village, so each section of the resort, like if you're staying in Aruba, you know, those different sections are called villages. So each village has actually its own pool. So that's a lot of pools at that resort. And then you, of course, have the main pool that's very big, and it's just very fun theming for kids. And then they also have the new Sebastian's Bistro there, which we have not ate there yet, but I heard it's pretty great, so I'm excited to check that out for that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
On to the next date.
August 12th. So that's when our Art of Animation, another value resort, will be opening. And, you know, a lot of people are like, I've seen those prices. That's not value prices. You have to keep in mind, these are family suites. So you're basically getting a living room, a little kitchenette section, a main, like a master bedroom. There's two bathrooms. It can sleep, you know, six people. And then if you had a baby and you needed a pack and play, so technically, like, we'll go with 6.5, because if you have a baby under 3, then it fits that. So it is a value resort. And then you have, of course, have the Little Mermaid section that is just standard size rooms. So again, this one's on the Skyliner route because the Skyliner station is on that bridge between Art of Animation and Pop Century. Talked about the family suites. The theming is amazing throughout this entire resort. The big blue pool, which is awesome. They have underwater sounds from Finding Nemo, the movie, in the big blue pool. And it is the largest pool in Walt Disney World. And also, I love the Landscape of Flavors, which is their, what's it called? Dining option, their
food court.
Food court.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah. Words are escaping me today. Their food court. They have, I forget what the station is. I forget the name of the actual station. But basically in the morning, they have build your own omelet. Hello. But then for us people who love carbs and pasta, me, and later on in the day, it turns into a build your own pasta section. And it's so good. And I love it. And I just love that that's an option for a value resort. And then I did want to shoot you with a fun fact. is that the resort has about 9,400 doors in the resort, which, if they stand on top of each other, it would be the size of the Empire State Building in New York City. Watch out. That's my fun fact for that one.
It's like a good interview question.
Right?
Like, how many windows are in New York City? Critical thinking. Got to think on your feet. Got to be quick.
Yeah.
How many doors are at the
Art of Animation Resort? 9,400. So if you get that on an interview question, you're set.
I know what I'm asking my intern when I have to hire them.
There you go. So then the other resort opening on August 12th is the Polynesian Resort. Of course, that's a deluxe. It's on the monorail loop. And the fun thing about that is, you know, if you're staying at the Contemporary and you want to go to Epcot, you have to take the monorail over to the main monorail hub, get off that monorail, and get onto the monorail that goes to Epcot. Well, with the Polynesian, you, of course, can walk out the door and get right on that monorail that will take you to Magic Kingdom. Or you can just choose to take the short walk down to the main hub to get on the Epcot monorail. But then you also have the boat ride too, you can take over. And then, of course, you know, you have the buses that go to the other parks and Disney Springs. I think this is one of my favorite themed resorts. Just
the food.
The food. I was getting to that, but that's
Skipping to it.
You are skipping to it. So just the theming, the detailing. And if you, I highly suggest you go online and read about the Polynesian, because they teach you about the languages that they use and, you know, the backstory of the whole thing and the backstory of the luau and everything. It's just, it's really cool. Down to the little details. It's great.
Food.
And of course, getting to the amazing food.
The noodles.
Of course, you have Ohana. Oh, gosh. You have Ohana that, yes, has the noodles. Kona Cafe, which we've been trying to get to and just is not, it's not working out, friends. It's just not happening. We've had a reservation at Kona Cafe at least 4 or 5 times now. And for whatever reason,
something pops up and we can't.
Something pops up and we can't get there. But I want to go there for that. They have pho. Guys, if you know, if you need to know one thing about Janelle, it's Janelle loves pho, and pho is a Vietnamese soup, and they have it. They also have the pineapple lanai. Of course, you can get the Dole Whip there, and then the Dole Whip with the alcohol, and then, of course, they have specialty daily Dole Whip flavors, which I'm not sure if my husband knew that.
What?
And he's very...
You've been withholding...
Honey,
float flavors?
We've walked by it in the menus there, and I say, do you want to get a Dole Whip? And you say, no,
no,
not here.
Because most of the time, I've just stuffed my face with Ohana when we're leaving there. I've eaten my weight in noodles.
We really try not to really eat a lot leading up to Ohana.
Good
so
Lordy.
That we can,
yes. We plan our whole day around Ohana meals.
Yes.
It's worth it.
Yes,
it's the best meal you can get.
But then also they have Captain Cook's, which I've heard is great. So I just really...
Great little water park back there.
Yes. It's an awesome water park. Especially if you've... I mean, you've seen it. If you've ate at Ohana, you've probably seen it. It's what's right outside the window.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It looks great. And then just... The grounds are just gorgeous.
Because they've got the whole nine.
And then they have the Spirit of Aloha dinner show that's like a luau. And
they have the boat rentals and the whole deal. Which is cool. So, and Polly, it's on the list.
Oh, it's high on my list.
We'll get there.
So, yes, that's Polly. That's opening up August 12th.
August 24th.
Woo-woo. So August 24th is, of course, our little duo, the Yacht and Beach Club Resorts. Both are deluxe. These kind of have the same notables to them, you know, a little different theming. Of course, Beach Club is more beach themed. Yacht Club is more nautical themed. They're both kind of set to an 1800 seaside New England, you know, beach nautical hotels. Highlight of this is you can walk to Epcot and Hollywood Studios if you want, but you can also, if you don't want to walk to Hollywood Studios, you can walk yourself over to the Skyliner and hop on the Skyliner and take it to Hollywood Studios if you want to do that. And of course, that's the Skyliner outside of Epcot. Or there's, of course, water travel as well that you can take. Lots of dining options there, because if you think about it, you are walking distance to Epcot, to Hollywood Studios. You are also, you have two deluxe resorts, and you have the Boardwalk Inn, which is also a deluxe resort, and you have the Boardwalk itself. So that's a lot of dining options in that area that are easily walkable too. And then, of course, everybody's favorite aspect of the Yacht and Beach Club is that they share Stormalong Bay, which is the water area, and that amazing sand bottom pool that they have there. So that's a really fun option for the kids to actually play in the sand, and you know, it's just a different atmosphere.
Yeah, I think
than the norm.
I think for the layperson, these two sort of fall into the hidden gem category.
Yeah.
They aren't really,
I would say, Yacht Club more than Beach Club. Club has been very popular lately.
But even with that, like, neither one can I even picture right now, because they aren't, I don't think they are ingrained in the symbology of Walt Disney World. You say Grand Floridian, you know, big white buildings with red roofs. Like,
yeah.
Polynesian people know it. It comes right to their mind.
Contemporary. Yeah.
Swan and Dolphin, which aren't, but people think they are.
Yeah.
It's that weird sort of another misconception.
The giant statues. Yeah. The giant statues at the Dolphin, that's really a fish.
But, you know, they I don't think either of those are, of course, talking about Yacht Club and Beach Club, I don't think either of those are really ingrained into, at least for me, and I put myself more in the layperson category still a little bit, baked into the symbology of mm-hmm. Walt Disney World, the thing that's always going to pop into your head. So yeah. I think they can, for me at least, they kind of fall into the hidden gem category, and everything Janelle just laid out gives me more interest in them.
And I kind of think, you know, Beach Club, definitely, just from me being a travel agent, what I've seen when people book. So I have a lot of families that book Beach Club. For whatever reason, they go to Beach Club. And then, you know, if I have like an adult couple that's honeymooning and, you know, they really want to stay at Beach Club because of the amenities Beach Club has, I recommend Yacht Club, just because it has all the same amenities. But Yacht Club, for whatever reason, doesn't have as many families at it. But that might be changing, because now Yacht Club has been refurbished, so that's kind of appealing for people. But yeah, Yacht and Beach Club, August 24th.
September 21st.
Dun dun dun. The Grand Floridian. Of course,
the granddaddy of them all.
Yes, of course, we all know it's a deluxe resort. And as we kind of hinted at, if you don't know, Grand Floridian is getting a walkway. It is being built. We saw it. I have no clue where it is now because of COVID, when everything shut down. So I don't know where that process is.
I mean,
they're pretty far along.
They looked pretty close to done.
Yeah.
The last time we were there, which was,
but I don't know. See, that's also February. Something I don't know how that's going to work with COVID, mm-hmm. with these reopenings of the park. Are they going to open it, or, you know, I don't know how that's going to go. So,
well, you know, yeah, right. But, you know, we can get into this if we want. We don't, but a walkway versus jamming people into a boat.
Yeah.
It's easier to socially distance on a walkway.
So this will have them go faster.
But like we said earlier, it's not a short walk. So be ready for that.
But when we say that, we're comparing it to the Contemporary Walk. So I don't think it's not going to take you a half hour.
Mm-mm.
No, it's not going to take you a half hour. Mm-hmm. But if you have a 4-year-old that just walks the park all day, you don't got a stroller and they're awake and you're not going to carry them, maybe wait for the monorail or the boat.
Able-bodied adults.
Little tiny feet aren't going to be able to handle that after.
Able-bodied adults will be perfectly fine before.
If you have a stroller, great.
But the little ones and maybe grandma and grandpa, probably not.
Unless you have like a scooter or something.
The most ideal situation to do that walkway. But it's definitely going to be a nice add for that area of the resort sort of circle there. Yeah,
I kind of think it was needed. But anyway, so back to Grand Floridian, highlighting some of the things there. So, of course, it has a walkway. Going to have the walkway. It's on the monorail loop. And it also has boats. So lots of food options. They have quick services, table services. They have character dining. They have signature dining, multiple signature dining. Of course, they have Victoria and Albert's, you know, that very high level. But then also they have the spa there, which I've been inside of. I haven't gotten any treatments there, but I took a little tour, and it's magical looking and magical smelling. But also now they did have, they always had like a hair salon inside, which you could take, you know, kids. I say kids, but mostly little girls, if you didn't want to pay bibbidi bobbidi boutique prices or you couldn't get into it. Ivy Trellis, they had it in there where they would do kind of like princess makeovers. However, now that has changed into a bibbidi bobbidi boutique officially. So that's there now too. So if you can't get Magic Kingdom, you don't want to go to Disney Springs, you have the option of booking it at the Grand Floridian. Also, this is a AAA Four Diamond Resort, which I don't know if anybody knows what AAA is anymore or if they know what the diamonds are, but Four Diamond is the highest you can get. And Grand Floridian is the only Walt Disney World resort that has the Four Diamond rating. I found a fun fact about this one. So at 1900 Park Fair, which is inside the Grand Floridian, this is where it's a buffet meal, and in the morning, currently, it is Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Alice, Mad Hatter, and Mary Poppins. And at night, it is Cinderella, Prince Charming, stepmother, like Lady Tremaine, and then evil stepsisters, Anastasia and Drizella. So inside of there, there is a band organ, and its name is Big Bertha, and it's inside the restaurant. And this band organ, you'll hear it playing music, and what it does is it basically, it's an organ that plays all the instruments in a band, so like cymbals and drums and like everything. And it was used from 1909 to 1955 in an amusement park in Grand Rapids, Michigan, before it came over to the Grand Floridian. Whoa. Where it still plays music. Whoa. Today. Bum, bum, bum. So that's your fun fact for that one.
Stunning wedding venue on the grounds of Grand Floridian.
And they just redid the inside of the wedding pavilion, and it looks, it's gorgeous.
So if you got the coin and you want to just
blow. I have to say, I looked that up, and in your mind, you're seeing these lavish weddings that you constantly see on social media, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how much money did they drop for that? But those are high packages.
Yeah.
They actually have pretty low packages that are really not bad.
Well, there you go. I stand corrected.
Dun, dun, dun.
So.
Another fun fact. I beat Matt.
You beat me?
Yeah. Where? You stand corrected.
Oh, yeah. Well, that tends to be, it's going to be a tilted scoreboard.
Yep.
All right.
Theming in the Moretti household.
October 1.
October 1 is the Boardwalk Inn. Another great deluxe resort.
How did I have to go back real quick? How did we get through an entire Grand Floridian conversation without, again, referencing Poomageddon?
Poomageddon and our koozies. Ugh. Great food. Great bathrooms.
Great bathrooms.
Great atmosphere.
Riley. Nutcracker.
If you didn't listen to
episode three, when Janelle,
we tell you about Poomageddon. So we're not going to tell you about that. You need to go back and listen to episode three.
Carry on. October 1.
Boardwalk Inn. Another great deluxe resort. This is over by the Yacht and Beach Club. And there's like Yacht and Beach are sister. I call this their cousin because it's right there. And they're all kind of lumped into each other. So again, great a walk to Epcot and Hollywood Studios, or you can walk over to the Skyliner, the Epcot location, and hop on the Skyliner. And guys, any of these Skyliners, just keep in mind, you can take this Skyliner to the Pop Century Resort and get yourself that turkey sandwich. I'm plugging it in because the more people that buy it, it will never go away. Okay, back to the boardwalk. So, of course, it has the same dining options as Yacht and Beach. Ton of dining options in that area. This is actually a great one for adults. Because of the nightlife on the boardwalk, there's, jelly rolls, and they have live bands, and they stay openly in bars and just restaurants on there. So this is a great one for adults. But also they have great theming for if you want to take the kids there. But then also they have the boardwalk bikes. So if anybody's ever gone to, like, Virginia Beach or,
Ocean City, Maryland, or
basically any beach town, you see people riding up and down a boardwalk, and there's like a four-seater, and they're sitting down with a little canopy overhead, and they're biking away. They have those. You can rent those. It's a good time. Rent yourself one, go get some ice cream, have a ball. So that's October 1st.
And if you've waited this long thinking, why aren't they opening my favorite resort? Maybe they are on October 14th.
Okay. Well, October 14th is Coronado Springs Moderate Resort. We had a reservation for Coronado Springs, but that was literally the first week, I think, of COVID that affected Disney World. Mm-hmm. So that got canceled. We are not having much luck lately.
Did they get that finished? The upgrades to it. There was a lot of renovating going on with that one in the months leading up to COVID. But did it fully finish and reopen?
What are you talking about? What part of the Coronado Springs are you talking about?
Whatever part they were renovating.
Well, they built the Grand Destino Tower.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Maybe, but that was open for a while because I stayed in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, look at you.
Yeah, I know. I was going to talk about that. Okay, so Coronado Springs is it's described as a lakeside oasis with a Spanish, Mexican, and Southwest USA feel.
Wow. To it.
I know, right? And this is actually, I have not actually been in the water, but I've been to the pool there, and I think it's one of the top pools in Disney World. It's great for kids, and the area it is, and just the theming is really on par. It's really nice. They also have a cool, what's it called? A quote unquote, it's an explorer's playground, it's called. It's a dig site, so kids can dig for artifacts, kind of like the Boneyard at Animal Kingdom. So not many people probably know that, but you can do that. I'm talking the main Coronado Springs rooms, not the Grand Destino Tower. The main Coronado Springs rooms just got a renovation, a refurbishment, and they have, if you like the Three Caballeros, like I like the Three Caballeros. They have little light touches in those rooms. I won't spoil it, but like if you're thinking, oh my gosh, there's going to be cartoons all over them, that's not it. Unless you are a fan, I don't know if you'd really pick it out. But they are in there. Also, there is a spa because this is a convention resort, so they have conventions there. So there's a spa inside the health club, so you can get your hair done, a manicure, pedicure, massages, facials, that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool for a moderate level resort. And then, of course, the new Grand Destino Tower. I stayed there. I loved it. It's absolutely gorgeous inside. Just
looks cool.
It is. I stayed there with my agency with Beer Guest Vacations, and it was really nice. It was kind of funny to kind of watch us all try and figure out the elevator. It is a higher tech elevator than we are used to. I will leave it at that. And and of course they have that new restaurant at the top, Toledo's. I can't wait to try it. It looks really good. And then I did want to say that I didn't know this, but a lot of the, not really, I don't know about the Grandestino Tower. I'm not sure about that, but Coronado Springs Resort in general, a lot of the touches and detailing were inspired by Salvador Dali's art. That's where they kind of took the look from, yes. And then I did want to give a shout out to the Three Bridges Bar and Grill. This is a restaurant in the middle of the lake at Coronado Springs. And we, when I say we, I mean some of the girls from my agency got back from a park kind of late and we were hungry. I think we were coming from Disney Springs and we hadn't really ate dinner. So we were kind of hungry and that was still open. So we were like, let's go there. Let's try it out. So amazing atmosphere for something I didn't really know was there, hadn't been there, hadn't heard about it. Nobody really talked about it. Amazing atmosphere. You know, you could go there and actually sit down, eat a meal at a table, or they have like kind of like patio lounge seating. There's fireplaces. Amazing. Now, Spanish, Mexican, Southwest USA. That means tequila and that means margaritas. So they have amazing drink selection. But also, we just got a bunch of appetizers and everything was so good. So I highly recommend to go to the Three Bridges Bar and Grill at the Coronado Springs Resort.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
Your updates on resort openings.
Yeah. So right now there's no opening date for the All-Star Resorts. Either the Port Orleans, French Quarter, or Riverside, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and Wilderness Lodge. Now, you may be thinking, wait a minute, I'm booked at Boulder Ridge at Wilderness Lodge. That is not the same. That is the DVC resort located at the Wilderness Lodge. The Wilderness Lodge itself does not have an opening date. I don't know why. I don't know when. But right now, you can't book for even in 2021.
So just TBD on that one. We'll be sure to update you when we have more info on it.
Yes, 100%. But we just kind of want to update because we know a lot of people, some people might have to move resorts or, you know, you simply didn't know all these little tidbits about the other resorts. So.
Yep. And yay. As always, if you're thinking about booking a trip,
contact me, Janelle@BearGuestVacations.com. You can email me or you can visit us on MMHpodcast.com and there hit the travel button and get your free quote. And I will help you every step of the way, planning your vacation, booking your dining, booking your fast passes, and giving you all my tips and tricks to the parks.
Cool beans. As always.
Yeah.
Transitioning.
I know. We need to have some fun music, like Pixie Dust transitioning or something.
Now we're going to get into my production skills.
Oh, boy.
Now you're just challenging me. All right.
Oh, boy.
Janelle.
Yes.
The question of the day. I'm going to challenge you to think about. I've got one teed up.
I'm ready for it.
A lot of times I'll back it up and give me sort of the inspiration for this question.
Oh,
you go to a movie that has that big twist ending or that surprise character or that emotional moment that you can't ever really fully experience again after you've seen it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, while Disney World is full of experiences, not just rides, but experiences and things. We talked about some pixie dust last week with cast members, just things like that. Janelle, what is that experience that you've had in the parks that was so good or so cool, you can do it again, but it'll never quite be what it was the first time?
Yep, I'm ready. And guess
what? That was really fast.
I know. So, I'll give you one because you said for the parks.
Sure.
So, I will say Happily Ever After, seeing that for the first time was completely epic.
Blew my mind.
And Yeah, so I would say that's for the parks. But the one that comes to mind is, if anybody knows Janelle is obsessed with the Wilderness Lodge.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with it since, you know, I never stayed in it before. I just love the aesthetic and the smell and everything about it. So Matt and I booked a trip for September of 2019.
Just a little staycation.
At the Wilderness Lodge, and I was very excited. Like, everybody in my agency, like, knew how much I love this place. And when I told them, like, we booked it, everybody was super excited for me. And they were like, oh, my God. Like, that's how much I talk about this place. Especially for never having to stay there ever in my life. So we booked it for September. It's coming. My parents, now we have a baby. My parents were coming down to Florida to watch the baby so we could just do our own adult thing. Because we really weren't going to go to the parks or anything. Yep. So then our lovely hurricane friend hit. I don't even remember her name. Yeah. She upset me, so I put her name out of my head.
This hurricane came through, disrupted the whole
thing. So then we rebooked for January. So I found January. For some reason, I don't know how this happened, like the stars aligned and they're like the heavens above was just like, Janelle, we're going to get you to the Wilderness Lodge. Your husband is in the middle of a busy basketball season, but guess what? He's going to have a weekend off magically in January. Okay. So we booked the Wilderness Lodge, right? So I've not only wanted to stay at the Wilderness Lodge, but I've wanted to stay at the Wilderness Lodge when it's been decorated for Christmas. So knowing we were going in mid-January.
It was early January. January 4th, I believe, was the date.
Yeah. I thought it was like the 9th, 10th.
No, it was that first weekend in January.
Whatever. So I didn't know if it was still going to be decorated or whatnot. Didn't have high hopes. Didn't care. Because I was going to the Wilderness Lodge. So either way, I was pretty excited. So we parked. I was all about skipping inside. To the resort, and we walk in, and it's still decorated for Christmas.
And it was the last day, right?
It was the last day because that night we could hear them taking down. Everything down.
Wild.
And it was like, we're talking, the tree was up, the garland was still up, Reese, the gingerbread house was still there, everything was still there. And it completely took my breath away. I couldn't believe, like, I still felt like I was just coming in to, like, visit it and stop by.
Yeah.
And then the hits just kept on coming because then we went over to the concierge to check in and we just booked a courtyard view room because that's what, with bunk beds, that was available because we didn't care because right. We were only using one bed. So we didn't care. And I don't want to get into too much detail if we want to talk about this on a later
We will do. We'll end up doing a full background on this whole show. But
yes.
We got a little bit of an upgrade.
We got a little bit of a pixie dust.
Not expecting.
At all. And we're still confused by even when it was happening.
So
I thought we were being, yeah.
Call that a tease. But
yeah.
I think so to Janelle, to wrap the bow on Janelle's moment.
I finally got to stay at the Wilderness Lodge and it was everything I wanted it to be.
Amazing.
Yep. And I can't wait to go back before Christmas actually happens and stay for longer. And then hopefully if we ever move away from Florida, become DVC people. And that's our resort.
Goals.
Yep.
So now mine, right?
Yes.
Boy, tough to follow. But not
yeah,
really.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But not really.
I'm sure.
Janelle and I had the privilege to get a pass holder preview to visit Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios.
A privilege. Janelle worked her butt off while getting her MS infusion in the hospital to get the pass holder preview.
True soldier.
Yes.
for the cause. Mm-hmm. And at the Passholder preview, Janelle knew that my big thing that I was looking forward to the whole time that Galaxy's Edge was being, you know, contrived and imagined and ultimately built was the build your own lightsaber deal. And I was super excited about that. And of course, when you do the Passholder preview, they gave you the option to kind of pick what thing you wanted to do. And they had the different options. They had the Millennium Falcon ride. They had the build your own lightsaber experience. They had Oga's Cantina. They had the build your own droid. Basically, the build your own lightsaber just wasn't an option presented to us.
I don't know what happened to the whole
but regardless,
basically we just got the regular Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
that's it. We didn't get anything else.
We get to the park,
but we didn't really care.
We get to the park. We're going through obviously really light crowd because it's a Passholder preview, and I had remembered, I don't know where I saw it, but like the workshop is intentionally hidden. Mm-hmm. The theming around it is really cool that
we watched a ton of people miss it.
Yes, because it's a First Order occupied space.
Space fun.
So the lightsaber workshop is intentionally hidden from the First Order. So we walked up and we said, "Is this where you build a lightsaber?" And the guy said, "Don't you mean junk?"
Yes.
"Is this where you build junk?" I said, "Yes. I'm interested in building some junk."
And we didn't know if this was going to work because we thought you had to have a reservation. So we were just kind of seeing walk up and...
Of course, they asked if I had a reservation. I said no, and they put me on a wait list. Yep. And sure enough, a spot opened up. And
While we were in line for the Millennium Falcon.
And
we ended up being late.
Anyway, we get back there. They let me in.
Yeah.
No problem. I picked my junk. You pick a theme for your lightsaber and you go in. And what I didn't know is that it's a whole...
Also, each builder gets a guest. Mm-hmm. So, and only one guest. So, mm-hmm. one guest per builder. So, if you have kids, just keep that in mind.
I was
the guest.
Right. And what I guess I didn't know about it was that it was a whole show.
It was an experience.
It's an experience.
A true experience.
And... you're in it. The cast member walking you through the process was unbelievable.
He was amazing.
And really,
and I don't know if he's the guy that does it all the time.
I don't know, but he brought us into the world of Star Wars and into the fight of Star Wars. And being someone who grew up with Star Wars, who lived it, who still sort of lives it, like that was such an emotional experience for me. It's so weird that you're building a lightsaber, but like there's a twist that mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into because you need to go experience it if you're a Star Wars fan. That
caught you off guard.
Caught me off guard and got me a little misty.
Yeah. As we were leaving, I was like super excited because it was cool and I filmed it and I was like, haha, he's a kid again. And this wasn't like plastic. This was like real heavy duty stuff. And it was just cool to watch. And then we were walking out and he wasn't really talking because I was talking. And I looked up and I was like, oh my God, are you crying? And he's of course like sniffling and he just like grabs me by the shoulder and we just like walked out. But it was
so cool.
That has to be one of my favorite moments too, because it was really cool to see you experience that.
That's what I'm trying to get across with this segment, is like that's something that was so good that it can't be replicated again.
Yeah.
I'll do it again. I will spend the money again. Janelle will probably do it. We'll eventually do it with Riley. But
I can see doing it multiple times.
Yeah, but like it's never going to be as jarring or emotional as it was the first time because I wasn't ready for what it ended up being.
Yeah. I don't think I was quite ready for that either.
So there are a lot of experiences like that around Disney that they craft for you, that you go in with a certain expectation and you come mm-hmm. out completely floored, regardless. So, like, I think that's a powerful thing that they do. They think about, they imagine what you don't even know you want but you end up getting it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, every time we go back to Galaxy's Edge,
I was just going to say, maybe next podcast, we just need to bite the bullet and talk about Galaxy's Edge, because we just keep bringing it up.
We have ideas for next podcast.
We just love Galaxy's Edge so much.
We just got to... We'll keep teasing it, and eventually we'll reward everybody's patience with it.
Or depending on your idea of reward, it could be a really drawn out situation for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. I think that's a good way to put a bow on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt crying.
Pfft. Brutal. Ugh. Get it together, Matt. Get it together. We got to get back to Galaxy's Edge. You got to add another Kyber crystal to the collection.
Yeah. And I go for the food.
The food.
And ogas. I love ogas so much. Okay. See, this is why we just need to bite the bullet and talk about it, because we just keep going on.
Save it.
Ugh, guys.
Galaxy's Edge episode coming soon. With that, we'll put a bow on this one. This has been episode 6 of the Mo Magic Hour podcast. Of course, you can find us on our website, mmhpodcast.com. So you can subscribe to listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, or anywhere else you get your podcast from. You can email us, momagicpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Mo Magic Hour. We're on YouTube, where I'll post some shortened clips from the show to get a little taste of what we talk about on here. So like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Tell your family, put it on in the car, and just drive. Hopefully we can be friends with you for a little bit. So with that, I am Matt Janelle. Thanks for sticking around and hanging out with me tonight.
Where else would I be?
Well, you know, I guess you are sort of obligated to be here.
Where else would you rather be?
We'll catch you next time.
Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.